welcome to the Liberty Church podcast. We pray that as you listen to one of our amazing team bring the Word of God, you are encouraged and challenged and that your faith is stirred. To get in touch or for more information about us as a church, head to libertychurchuk.com.
Good morning, everyone. Why don't you just turn to the person next to you and say, you look good. Give them a compliment. So I'm glad you came. Maybe we need some help at the back. Can we get the clip ready just for the church plant, not the clip I've got? I don't know if you guys know where that is, but thanks, Francois. Awesome. Let me just read you something. Nehemiah chapter 8. Turn with me if you've got your Bibles. Or the young people, they want to go. You're 7 and 8, you may go. My daughter is telling me. Praise God for the year 8s, 7s. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, and he was above all the people. That means he was standing there preaching. And as he opened it to all the people, Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people shouted, amen, amen. So this is what we're going to do, right? I'm going to ask you to close your Bibles. And as I open my Bible, you're going to stand to your feet. And I'm going to say, we're going to bless the Lord. And you're going to shout, amen, amen. We use this Bible as a doorstop, as a gatherer of dust, as a we take it for granted. We don't know where it is. We can't find it. We've got more copies than we need. But somehow it is not deep within us. This is the thing you should know better than the narrative of what is going on in the world today. This is the thing that brings guidance. It brings direction. It brings clarity. It brings wholeness. It brings truth. It brings fulfillment. Not the New York Times, not the BBC News, not Sky News, not what's going on in Russia or Ukraine, not what's happening in everybody's agendas of how we're trying to be all PC. This is the thing that God wrote and we ordained in Scripture. We don't take away from it. We don't mess around with it just because we can't understand something. We don't dismiss it. We seek God about it. And guess what? Still at the end of our days, we'll still be trying to seek clarity because we don't know everything. So just settle in your heart. Jesus loves you. He died for you. He rescued you. He has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. He's placed you. Now get rooted and start to grow in flourishing in everything that you have. And don't worry what you can't settle. Just keep pressing in. Stop letting it divide you and let the things that we're called to and we know unite us, unite us. The church is messing around. Close your Bibles. Nehemiah chapter 8. And when Heath, because I'm not Ezra, opened the book, the people stood. And he said, Lord, we bless you this morning. And the people shouted. Let's do it again. Take your seats. Something's going to activate in you. When he opened the Bible this morning, the people stood. And he said, we're going to bless the Lord this morning. And they shouted amen and amen. One more time, because three is always good. The Trinity, we do this thing. And when Heath opened the word this morning, put your name there when you open the word. The people stood. And we said, bless the Lord. And we shouted amen. Amen. Do not take this thing for granted. Have it everywhere you got. Amen. Wow. I want to play you a short clip for those of you who weren't in church last week of what is coming up in January. Are we good? Yama, we're good. Watch the screen. Sorry about the lights. The school have done something with them. Hey, Liberty Church, do you know God is always on time, never too early or never too late? That is true for your life and my life and us as a corporate body. And that is true for the gospel plant that has been stirring in us for the last 18 months. Gazza and Lois said yes to the journey along with the team. And we know that the Holy Spirit has released that in January 2023, we're going to go regular in the area of the Risker-Rogerstone Valley that heads up and start to do the next phase of what God has called us to do as a people together.
Yeah, amen. So from mid to end of January, we are going to have a presence weekly up in that community. And that will look a variety of things. That will look like small groups. That will look like dinners together, praying together, worshipping together on some Sundays as well. And we are really expectant of missional opportunities, of opportunities to share the gospel in that community as we have a consistent presence up in that community from mid to end January.
Yes, so church, let's continue to pray together for these next steps. We're excited to see what God is going to do. We know he goes before us, and there are opportunities that are awaiting us. And so we're going to step out, and church, let's pray together. So Father, we commit this time to you, and we know we are here for such a time as this. And so Jesus, help us to be all ears to you, all eyes to you as we step out. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I'm glad five of you are excited. That's really cool. For the rest of us, we can get with the program. I want to tell you how excited it is. A church in the United States of America took an offering for us last week, friends of ours. We had no idea. No idea. In one offering, £15,000 for that church plant. One offering. £15,000. Some of you will sit there and go, great, I don't need to give my tithe and offering this week. No, you've missed the point. The point is, what God puts in front of us, he brings resource at the right time. I know there's been pressure. When is it happening? What's happening? Whoa, I'm not going to be pressurized, and we're not going to be pressurized by the push of people. The only step we're going to step to is the step of heaven. That's what we want. If you've got your Bibles with you today, open your Bibles, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 2. There's no scripture on the screen, but I'd like you just to open it there. I'm not walking to check if you've got a Bible. I'm just walking. Just as well. If you need a Bible, I'll buy you one. If not, I'll show you the app and you can download one. Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 1 to 2. But can I ask you a question? And just by the show of raising your hands, you can do this and just be honest. And I'm talking to you if you're a believer today in Christ. If you're here for the first time and that, please feel free. You don't have to answer the question. You can just sit amongst us. But have you ever felt like as a believer you've just had enough? One person. Thank you, Stu, for the response. Excellent. Okay, good. A few more. Have you ever felt like a believer like you just want to chuck it in? Yeah. Oh, there's a bit more there. Have you ever felt like a believer you don't want to face the battle tomorrow? Oh, good, good. Have you ever felt like you want to just crawl away and hide? Absolutely. I love that. Have you ever felt like you're just done with some people? Oh, biggest amen I've had so far. I am just done with some of you. Don't look across the room now at the person you're done with, okay? If they're here with you. Have you ever felt like you're just done with some situations? You just want change. Because apparently change is as good as a holiday, but that's all it is. It's just a holiday. It's not actually a builder. Have you ever felt like, you know, you just don't care what others think about your decisions anymore? You just don't give a monkeys. Who cares what anybody else is thinking? Forget them. Let me say this to you, right? These circumstances and feelings are real, aren't they? They're real. You feel them, don't you? You feel them go through. You can have the best day today, and tomorrow morning you can wake up and you can feel like I'm done. You can feel out. You can feel like it's game over. You can write the narrative of the next 10 years in 30 seconds in your mind. How many of you have ever sat there with one thought that drops in that's slightly gone wrong, and suddenly you've narrated the next days, weeks ahead? You're in the grave. It's all over. Finances are gone. You don't know what you're doing. You haven't got a clue, and you just, how many of you have ever done that? Or am I in my own company? I've done it. I did it yesterday. I did it this morning. And the Bible says that you get to capture those thoughts. This is real. We're in a real fight. That's why we need each other more than ever before. Men, can I speak to you for a moment? Thank you. I was waiting to do some man's thing because I was like, oh, opportune time when the kids are doing this and it doesn't affect the family, and how do we do it so everybody's able to access it and it's very nice and it's a nice thing. And I was just like, oh, forget it. I'm just going to do it because God needs the men to gather. So in 2 Saturdays' time, we're going to gather at an inconvenient time for you if you're not an early riser, 4 a.m. Only joking. Some of you, hey, look at your faces. See who's really a disciple here. If you don't come, Jesus is not coming to visit you. You all think Santa's coming. You need Jesus more than you need Santa. Coming now. No, it's going to be 1 hour, 7:30 to 8:30. And you can have breakfast as well. Wow. And you can have the word. But men, you're going to be called to account. If you don't want to be called to account, don't come. Stay at home. Stay at home, stay in bed, stay in your pajamas, because it's the only day of the week you get to relax. I know that. That's my narrative too. But no, I'm going to be there. I'll probably be there a little earlier. I was going to do it at 6 a.m., but I was warned off that. But here's the reality. There is stuff going on. Bible says that the way to Jesus is narrow and the rest of it is wide. That's not like some door you've got to try and squeeze through, you know? And try and slim your way through. No, the door is very clear. It just means this is the door we're going through. And there are keys to unlocking what needs to take place in your and my life right now. And they're often connected to other people. Some of you, and let me just say this, and let me bring my pastoral side, and Phil can correct me if I don't say it pastorally right. Some of you don't need to be prayed for. You just need to listen. You just need to listen to some of the stuff that the word is saying and somebody else of wisdom is bringing into your life. Prayer ain't going to work. Laying on of hands ain't going to work. It's just not going to work. Because the only thing I'm going to pray is, Lord, shock this brain to listen. Because the Bible says everything we need has been given to us. And sometimes we're going, and I'm all for, you know what, when Kobe calls prayer, come pray, man. But I'm also for, take hold of what is truth. Push out everything else and become so narrow-minded, that's the door I'm going through. Because through that door, there's a field for you to explore and walk in that has such beauty and space and place for you. And it's got a little shed if you want a shed, and it's got a workshop if you want a workshop, and it's got everything there that you need. You can pick the daisies and make them into a chain and give them to your loved one, whatever you want. But it is the other side of the door. And sometimes we're not going through the door because we want to be prayed for. We don't need to be prayed for. We need to be booted through the door. And I feel like we've got to boot some people through the door. And you'll go through thinking, what the heck are you doing? Some of you will leave. How dare you do that to me? Have you ever seen a shepherd put a sheep into a pen when it doesn't want to go? It's not like, oh, you know what? Shame. How's it going today? There's a couple of wolves hanging around out there, but, you know, let's talk about it. Let's have a think about our feelings right now. No, get your butt through the door. Let me tell you this. My butt is kicked at least once or twice a month. My butt is kicked because I need kicking in the right direction, because I am stubborn. Sometimes I'm proud. Sometimes I'm deconstructing the whole world and forgetting that let's not deconstruct. Let's just construct based on the word. And we just need a little nudge. You can tell how much nudge you need by when you walk through and you thank them and then you look at how deep the imprint was on your butt. Wow, that was a big kick. And sometimes I've looked back and the imprint on my backside is huge and it stings. I know we can't smack people in our culture anymore. We won't talk about that right now. But I need my butt kicked. Sometimes I need my butt kicked to get into gear. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 2. The circumstances that I described earlier are real, and they come and they get us. And the increase in that seems to be even more and more and more. So I want you to know there's space for you to be listened to well. If you want to help somebody, listen to somebody well. Don't interrupt, men, and just come up with an answer. Listen well, and then ask the Spirit of God, what does that person need in order to break through in the area? But if we don't listen well, and we don't stop, and we go away, you don't have to come up with an answer all the time. You just got to listen well. But as well as that, we've got to be careful we don't swing a pendulum so far the other way that we're still talking to the sheep outside the pen. The wolf is right there about to chow the thing, and we're still discussing whether that sheep feels like it should or should not enter a safe space. And our world has swung where we're so about my emotions, my feelings, my everything, instead of actually, what's my responsibility? Where's my resilience? And where am I just going to actually stand on something? The world is wobbling. Do you know that? Tomorrow you'll get up and mortgage rates would have plummeted. And your whatever your FTSE 100 is gone this way and it's gone south and now it's wherever it is. Our planet tokens we bought that me and Phil were going to get rich off on cryptocurrency, they've gone out the window. You know? We got all this stuff happening. Your house will be worth less than it was yesterday. Oh, my goodness. Bread will cost more. Petrol will do this. The teachers will walk out of school maybe because they would like to be paid more. Heath will go on strike because his salary's not high enough. It's all going crazy. I'm not going on strike, okay? I did think about it. I haven't had a pay rise. Yeah, it's going crazy. But the one thing we can stand on is His Word. His Word. You know, when you're in trouble and you're at home and the washing machine doesn't work or something's going on or the plumbing ain't happening, you call the person who knows or you look at somebody who thinks they know and hopefully they go to the manual and not just start swicking. But we need to go to the manual a bit more. The manual needs to be entrenched in us. Colossians chapter 3, we're getting there. You see, it's okay to have all these feelings and it's okay to journey through all these things. Of course it is. I don't want to invalidate you all. We're not a sweep it under the carpet people. Because eventually we walk in our rooms and our carpets are like, I don't think the carpet's meant to be like this. Because we've swept so much instead of dealt with so much. And it looks awful. We want to deal with things. But also today I want to remind you who you are. Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 to 2 says, if then, I think there's a graphic, it says if then, say to the person next to you, if then, this is a question for you to answer, if then you have been raised with Christ, that's the question, if then you have been raised with Christ, it demands an answer. You have to give it an answer. So right now in your mind, if then you have been raised with Christ, answer the question, is that me in Colossians 3, that first line? If then I have been raised with Christ, settle it in your heart. Yes or no? If it's no, you are welcome to give your life to Jesus right now. Or Jesus, come into my life. And I can chat to you afterwards well. One of us can. But if then you have been raised with Christ, this is what you do. So I am that. If you've settled it, then it goes on to say, seek the things that are above. Seek is seek. Remember hide and seek when you were a kid? And you had to find and then, oh, somebody jump out at you or something like that. But if that's you, raised with Christ, then seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Look at this. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things of the earth. If that is you, if then, then you are responsible, asked, almost gone, go through the door of saying, I'm going to seek the things that are above. How much time practically do you spend seeking the things that are of Christ compared to seeking the things that are going everywhere else? Right now, we're all going to probably be seeking the things of what we're going to buy for Christmas. Where is the best deal? Do you know how to get the best deal? Seek the things of God. Ask Him what the website is. Go there, buy it, and get on with it. Or walk to that shop and just get it done. Do you know the Holy Spirit can answer your shopping questions as well? You know? I know when Aldi's hasn't got products. I pray before I go there. I do. Aldi's not going to have that today. So I go somewhere else. Why? Because I don't want to waste my time. I know sometimes when I got to go to a certain supermarket because somebody's going to be there. The other day, I spent ages in this one supermarket. My wife's calling. I know it's buzzing, but I'm talking to somebody because the Lord needed me to be there in that moment. See, over the last couple of weeks, you've got to get the if then right. The last couple of weeks, if you've seen it and you've noticed it, Phil has been talking to us about have we forgotten who we are? Has the last years of COVID shifted my focus? And I think it has. Have we been deconstructing the wrong ideas? Do you know how many Christians I hear deconstructing their faith? Deconstructing to what? What are you deconstructing? The Bible is the Bible. It's truth. And it's, again, I don't know and understand it all. And there's room to discover more. That's why we have a teaching service on a Tuesday night. And it's excellent. You want to come dig in the Word? Make time on a Tuesday. Get down there. Come and dig. Don't ever come and say, oh, well, we don't have that at the church. Yeah, we do. It's Tuesday. Well, it's not convenient. Well, that's when it is. Saturday morning, 7:30 to 8:30. That's when we'll gather as men. If I had to do a WHO survey and try and do it all, I would kill myself trying to come talk to everybody. That's what we do. If I want to make an appointment with the doctor, it's at that time. Shift things. Move things. If my car needs to go in, it's at that moment. If I need the builder to come, I'm going to be ready because they're in short supply. Thank you, Dan. But Phil preached on this. He talked about the when generation. When we get this and when we get that and when we have enough, then we'll do. We're not the when generation. We're the now generation. You have enough in you right now to do what God has called you to do. You are graced and equipped to do what God has called you to do. You have it. You don't need to wait. The next step of what you need is activated by using what you have. There's something that takes place. Pastor Yang came 2 weeks ago, I think it was, and he went, fire. He said, the fire of God is placed in you. And he said, now it's your job to cultivate the fire. Those of you who have a wood burner, you know the deal. It's simple. You don't put a log on. It's gone. Lee is the fire person in our house. I don't have to master the art because she knows the art. Good core heat. That's all we have. But guess what? The Holy Spirit hasn't changed. That's how he operates. Then Steve came last week. Steve Ball, what a message. Faith hopes when it hurts. Are you hurting right now? I am. I am hurting. I get up most mornings and I am hurting. I have never prayed more in my life. Jesus, come back. Please, please come back, because I know it will be better for my wife, for my kids, and for all of you. I'm hurting. He also said, faith trusts when it's tested. He said then, even now, when Martha was stood there and Lazarus looked dead and gone and buried, she said to Jesus, even now. Do you need an even now? But you think something is like, I think I'm done. That's contrary to Scripture. Your greatest days are actually in front of you, not behind you. I don't know how many you've got. Live full, die empty. But week upon week, line upon line, brick upon brick, people have been coming and sharing the word. And where do we better believe? We're in a crucial time. We don't want to give the middle ground to extremists. And it's going to take more than a cup of coffee with Jesus now and again to grab hold. Watch this clip from Bill Johnson. Some of you don't like him, but that's okay because you've told me that. But watch the clip anyway.
To be strong in this hour is going to take more than a few verses of a devotional on a Tuesday morning. You've got to interact with God himself, who is the Word. Have that is in his heart interwoven through how you think, how you feel, how you react, how you respond, how you plan. Everything is interwoven because I have taken time to meditate, to utter, to moan, to rehearse, to bring up over and over again, to put in my own words, to put in his words, to gather other scripture, put them together, make them prayers, make them confessions, sing them as songs.
Wow. He preached that after he lost his wife, Benny Johnson. Don't zone out because, oh, I don't know about Bethel and Bill Johnson. No, listen to the word. You see, if then, If then, Colossians, if then, this is who you are. Let me ask you a question, and you may not know how to answer the question. What is your current relationship status? You may stand up and confess, or, you know, or wherever you are, but what is your current relationship status? If you walked in, if you walked into my world and met me, now most of you know me. So my current relationship status could be seen by what I carry on my hand. You know, I carry a ring, so I'm married. I'm betrothed, as they say. Well, if you saw my kids running around, you could probably say, "These kids, please don't feel bad if you haven't got your wedding ring on, okay? I'm not saying you have to wear one. I'm just telling you that." If you spend a little bit more time with me, you'll probably notice people always comment when I meet them, "Wow, you talk about your wife a lot." Well, I do, because one, I love her, but two, I'm also wise to the fact that in the circles I dwell, stuff can happen. And I want people to know I'm a married man. I do it on purpose sometimes. I talk about my children. My son played the drums this morning excellently. I love my boy. He looks a bit like me. He's getting too tall. I want to stick a brick on his head. When he starts to come and borrow your clothes, we've got issues. Is that, you know, that, do you ever have that laundry problem? When your kids become the same size and you don't know whose underwear is whose? Anybody ever experienced that? No, some of you look at me funny. It's what happens when you wash. You wash the clothes and then you don't know whose is whose. You know, and when Willow's distributing it to us, we all just get each other's. You know, anyway. But what's your relationship status? I got a couple up here. Maybe you can identify with some of them. I think it's there. This is you and God, okay? You and God. What's your relationship with status? I'll read them to you. We're on, but I'm in control. This is you and God. This is you and Jesus. We're taking a break at the moment. Sabbatical. We check in once a day, now and again, you know, me and God. He's like my Wi-Fi, slow at times, and I think he drops out. Or he's like my car, he keeps breaking. A lot of maintenance, this whole Christianity thing. Or he's like my degree. I know a lot about him, but I don't actually experience much. Or he's like my boss. I know better than my boss, and I should be leading this thing. Or maybe it's new and exciting. I've just met Jesus. Or maybe you're still keeping your options open. Or maybe you were exclusive to God, but now you're shopping around, seeing what else is going on. I think there's another screen with a second set. Can you put that up? There we go. Maybe you're he's my all, my priority. I'm united with him. Maybe you're on dating terms with Jesus right now. I see other people, and I'll get to him when I need to. Maybe you're friends with benefits. Some of you are like, what does that term mean? I'm not going to explain it. But you're like, I'll use him, he uses me. You think Jesus uses you? No. Maybe you could take it or leave it, the relationship. Maybe you find God very demanding on your time, your life, your finances, generosity. Maybe he's one of your good friends amongst others. Amongst, I don't know, the football, Xbox, my job. Maybe you're deconstructing God at the moment, and I'm trying to figure him out. He needs to modernize. Maybe it's a purely needs-based thing, your relationship with him. God, I cry out to you when I need you. Or maybe it's religious, intimacy when I attend church. You know? Are there children in here? Yeah, there are. Okay, I won't say what I was going to say. Sometimes we're religious about things. But what's your relationship status? You see, when Jesus came and he came into your life, the Bible says, and if you read your Old Testament, he says he put like a ring and a robe on you. And he was so invested in you, he didn't need a discussion. He didn't need a dating period. He didn't need all this. He just said, you know what? You're mine and I'm yours. And one day he's coming back for his bride. He's not coming back for his girlfriend. He's not coming back for a cheap date. He's not coming back for somebody that's two-timing. He's coming back for his bride. And we are his bride. If then. Somebody asked me a question once, Heath, do you think sometimes in your behavior you're having an affair with the world? I was like, oh, you're two-timing God. Tough question. I had to process that. You see, because the devil, his art is seduction. You know, even those films of old, The Devil Wears Prada or whatever, the devil prances around whatever he needs to in order to draw you from the one that loves you the most. Some of us in our relationship with God, we're challenged right now in the United Kingdom to speak the truth. We don't want to, just in case we step too far, left, right, front, center, and somebody takes your head off with it. Do you know, last week in a nation, and I won't speak about it because it's live on Facebook, 3 people lost their lives for bringing the gospel. I guarantee you won't lose your life probably right now in the United Kingdom for speaking the gospel. You might lose your credibility. You might have people not like you anymore, but that's what the truth does sometimes. People are dying. People are dying without Jesus. It is unkind not to share the gospel. It's unkind to not share the gospel. People in the church, and I'm talking to believers, we've entered a place where we make decisions right now in the haze of life. Have you ever walked? How many of you ever like walking? You go on the top of a mountain and the mist comes down. What's the worst thing you can do in that moment? Start just walking around randomly. I've listened to stories where people die off the side of mountains because they walk around. And somehow we think in the haze of what's going on in our world, we're just going to make random decisions. And we've now come up with our own proxy of who gets to sit on those decisions instead of going back to our word and the places that we're planted and rooted in. And we wonder why it goes pear-shaped. You wonder why people are kind of going, I don't know about church anymore. Why? Why don't you know about church? Well, it doesn't fit my preference. It's not about your preference. You know what my preference is? Some days, I don't want to lead. I don't want to come. Can somebody give me some water, please? Some, thanks. I don't want to be in some spaces. I want a job for 60 grand a year. I can go to work from 9 to 5, come home, and don't care about anybody else. But that's not what I gave my life for. I gave my life and laid it down. And I said, Jesus, whatever you want to do with me, wherever you want to send me, whatever you want to take place, I got to go. That's not because I'm called to lead a church. That's because I'm just a believer in Christ. And I'm a Christian. That's what we all said. When we said, I'm going to be a living sacrifice. Did you read the report last week? The decline of Christianity in Wales? Did it shock you? It didn't shock me at all. I thought those stats are lying. Because I know this, if 10% of the population were on fire for Jesus, it would change the rest of the 90. So the stats are rubbish. Well, I'm a Christian. Okay, what does that mean? Do you know what a Christian is? Full of faith. Full of the Holy Spirit, on fire, and it proves in stats, in society, over the history, that if 10% of the people are on fire, it changes the extra the 90%. This church will move from place to place and go into it because 10% of you will catch something and it will change the 90%. It will. It will. By pure stats, we only need 25 people absolutely ablaze and the whole place will change. And so I look at those stats and we go, oh my goodness, now we're, do you know what, it's been like that. But on my watch, I don't want to be part of, oh well, he was around when the decline of Christianity happened in his nation. And whether you're with me or not, I'm not going down with that one on my resume. I am here to represent Jesus with everything that I got. And I'm going to call on everything that you have because you are gifts to me and I am gifts to you. And when I need you, I'm going to come knocking and I'm going to cry out and I'm going to ask you to pray for me and stand with me and walk with me and help me because you have something that I need because we're family. If then, if this is my status, my identity, my being, my life, then my response should be to seek his things, to set my mind on his things, and to abide in his word. Turn with me. I'll take another 6 or 7 minutes, see if we can do this. Isaiah 61. I think it's up on the screen. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. I'm just going to jump a couple of ways. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord upon you. Whose Spirit is on you? Sovereign Lord. Remember last week when Steve said, and she said, Lord. Lord. It's not just, well, the spirit of my mate is upon me and the spirit of some guy that I'm kind of seeing if I'm in relationship with. No, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. We've got to be careful. Kobe said this to me the other day. We've got to be careful. We want to get close, but don't become familiar. We have become too familiar with God and with each other. And over time, you've got to be careful that your familiarity does not negate the gift that sits on somebody. Oh, well, it's just put the name in. He's Lord and he's God. You see, familiarity, if we're too familiar, it leads to making preference decisions instead of his decisions. If we're too familiar, it leads to disconnection. If we're too familiar, at best we bless, but we never build. In Deuteronomy and Joel, it says, tell your children and your children's children, not about the political situation, not about current affairs, not how society and Bible and all that kind of stuff fit together or what we must change, not how scripture needs to alter and all those things. Tell them about the goodness of God and what the word actually says. See, we become too familiar. Well, I think the Bible says. Now, what does it say? What does the word God say? It also says there in verse 1, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me. He has sent me. Sometimes I think we forgot that we're sent. You see, because of who we are, we carry something. And where you go, you're depositing something. What am I depositing? Well, your relationship status will affect what you deposit. Your relationship status will affect what you deposit. I remember when I was 19 years old, this is how I used to make money. I used to take these guys from college who wanted to go to a nightclub. And what they wanted to do was dance and drink all night. And I thought, I have an idea. They can get drunk and I'll charge them £15 each for a lift home. Cracking idea. So that's how I made my money every weekend. They could either pay a taxi or they could pay me. Now, in theory, I could have charged them cheaper, but hey, they were drunk. They didn't know. They hand over the money easy. Here's the interesting thing. In my part of me, I wanted to go to that nightclub because what I really was seeking was somebody who would love me. I wanted in. And so I used to put my jeans on and my nice shirt and do my hair ridiculously and pull out my best dance moves. In 2.5 years of going on and off and making a lot of money, not one girl looked at me, pinched my bum, thought that kissing me was a good idea. Nothing. Not a stitch. You should all be upset now. Oh, poor guy. Not anything. Do you know what I used to do in the end? I used to drop them, and then I'd just go for a drive and hang out and find a coffee shop. Pick them up a little later. You see, I prayed a stupid prayer, which was actually an amazing prayer, when I was 17. God, protect me and keep me. And let the calling card of my life shine through beyond my actions. That the woman I next meet, let her be the one that I marry. You know? And so I went there with all my moves, all my dancing, all my, woo, check it out. I mean, these people were rubbish. They were drunk. They couldn't dance. I came third in South Africa in Israeli dancing. And I taught line dancing. Shania Twain, Man, I Feel Like a Woman. That was the song I had to do. And I did a chair dance once, which wasn't so successful, but it was good. I've just never danced with a chair. But it somehow didn't press through because something else that I prayed over myself, I wanted something. I knew I couldn't find it there. And God somehow protected me in that space because I had said, Jesus, this is my relationship status. God, I really want to find love. I'm not sure how, but maybe a nightclub will work. And he went, no, my dude, it's not happening. But I had sealed in my heart, I belong to you. You see, if you hang around me and Leah long enough, you can want to become close to us, but we will challenge you. We will want you to come through in your freedom. We're not going to settle for talking about just whatever. Because this is who we are and that's who we connected to. This is our relationship status. The two became one and we said yes to Jesus in that journey. The last thing, and let me land it there, land it here, is go all the way down to verse 3. It says, they shall be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. We mustn't forget what we're called. You get named oaks of righteousness because you said my relationship status is here. You get to be the planting of the Lord because the Lord doesn't just move around and do whatever. He roots you and he plants you. And you took his name and his seal. Don't worry about 666. Be more concerned that his seal is on you. We've got so many things about that. Don't worry about that. Because when the Holy Spirit seals on you, you can be planted and you can live out the call that he has called you to. Our relationship status, built on a rock, a living sacrifice, that proclamation is powerful. And skip right down to verse 6 and 7, and we'll finish here. It says this. Can you go down to verse 6 and 7 for me? And you will be called priests of the Lord. I'm just expanding Isaiah here a little bit beyond what we've preached on. You will be named ministers of God. Watch what happens when you name those and you stand in it. Watch what happens. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Watch what else happens. Instead of shame, you receive a double portion. If you're carrying shame, I just want you to remind yourself this is who you are. Somebody was brave this morning. They came forward for prayer. You know, there's no shame here. No shame. We don't have time for shame. We sang a song once. We don't have any time for that. You'll receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land and everlasting joy will be yours. Everlasting joy. When you know what you're called, because you've secured your status, I can walk around and go, I am a son of God. I can walk around and I can say, I am husband to Leah. I can walk around and say, I am a father to Leah. I can walk around and say, I am part of the eldership team that leads this house. Because I'm secure in that. I know that. Therefore, I operate in what I'm called to be. Sometimes we're still trying to figure out what we're called to be, so we're not operating in truly who we are. See, Jesus said in John 8:31, if you are my disciples, what's the rest of the scripture? It's abide in me. If you abide in me, you are my disciples. Well, if you're not abiding, switch it around. If you don't abide, then what are we doing? I want to be his disciple. I really do. Because that's the only way I can disciple anybody else. And then Paul says this in Philippians 1:21. He says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You know, when Paul wrote this, Paul's in a prison. Paul knew whatever is happening out there, the greater work is taking place in here. Whatever's happening out there in the world, whatever's going on, the greatest work that is taking place is in here. It's right here. And sometimes we've got to let it take place in here so that it affects out there. We often want to change our circumstance before we want to change in our godliness. Lord, change the circumstance. He's like, no, I'm going to change you first. I'm going to change you first. See, faith hopes even when it hurts. Faith trusts when it's tested. And even now. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 2. If then, Liberty Church, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek those things. Seek those things. If you need a thing through the door, like I do, I know who boots me through the door. Our narrative goes a little bit like this. I won't say the person's name. I need some talking to. My head is not straight. I'm losing perspective. And literally, it's not, oh, stroke your head. Doesn't. Heath, sort it out. This is how we're going to deal with it. This is what we're going to pray for. And this, that's how it's for me. Might not be like that for you. But if then, and we get to walk in a place where there's no shame, there's no disgrace, we're a people. And what did Pastor Yang say? Set yourself on fire and let the people come and watch you burn. And we're on fire. Are we? Is there real circumstance? Of course there is. Is it tough? Of course there is. Of course it is. Find somebody to tell those stories to. Not the whole world, not Facebook. Tell the stories. Find somebody's shoulder to cry on, to press through with. And do that. And then say, but if then, this is who I am. Why don't you just close your eyes? Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that we are an if then people. I thank you, Father, that this is more than just coffee on a Tuesday morning or a Bible verse. This is close but not familiar. This is not forgetting that I'm sent. This is not forgetting the name on me. Father, dare we pray for me to live is Christ. And everything else is but filthy rags. Dare we pray that, God. Dare we pray when preference rules our world, when comfort is more important than sacrifice. God, you own the cattle on a thousand hills. You are no man's debtor. You make a way where there seems to be no way. You meet us in our hurt and our pain. God, you meet us when nobody else sees us. You meet us. And you bring the right people into our lives. You bring the right people. And you plant us and you root us. Father, we bless you and we thank you. Jesus, thank you for never walking out on us, never picking anybody else, never substituting us, never even questioning the relationship status which you have with us. You laid down your life, you gave it all, and you said, I'm in covenant and committed to you. Jesus, we give you praise. We give you praise and we thank you. This morning, I know it's been challenging. I know that because I got to walk it through before I bring it here for probably weeks. And I got to deal with some stuff. Me too. See, when the Israelites were in Egypt or coming out of Egypt, they didn't have an option to do anything else. They had to stick with the program of everybody else. It wasn't anywhere else to go. No other church to hang out with a bunch of people. It was back there on your die or we're forward and we go. We got too many options in life. You can pick. Shop in Aldi's. There's only one tomato sauce. It's a good man's shop. There's only one ketchup. I'm not saying do that, but you're taking my analogy of it. If Jesus had a shop, it would probably be Aldi's, because there's only one choice. That's it. That's what we pick. We've got all these cool names, which is like, I walk in Aldi's, I think, oh, the names of God are everywhere. They come up with some creative names. On the back, made by Aldi's. You know? I think, oh God, you're provider, you're healer, you're restorer, you're renewer. We're going to plant, we're going to, oh my goodness. Still, seal of stamp, Jesus. Holy Spirit, Father in heaven. Same thing. I've known you by 1,000 names. And you deserve every single one. But God, we've come to give you praise because Jesus has saved and rescued us and set us free and brought us into spacious places. And we are breaking through and our past will not hold us. And we're going to press through for what you have in Jesus' name. Won't you stand with me? We're just going to, I'm going to pray over you right now. I just feel like I want to pray one more time. I know we're a few minutes over. If something that has been said today has resonated in your heart, won't you just lift your hands to Father? Maybe I am part of those relationship statuses. I have been like that, and sometimes I still am like that with God. But maybe you say, God, okay, just you and me. Those of you who are married in this place, you know, she's not doing her thing and you're not doing your thing. You're actually one flesh. You do your thing together. And what you do affects the other one, what the other one does. If you're single here in this place, you don't have to worry about that. You are pressing through right now for what God has placed on your heart. Paul said sometimes that's a better place to be. That's not a cue for somebody to become single if they're married, just so we're clear. Father, in Jesus' name, with our hands raised right now, we open them wide and we affirm again our heart and our thanksgiving to you. Jesus, we love you. As the bride and groom stand at the altar, God, we stand and we declare to you this morning, Jesus, we love you. We are sorry for looking to the left or to the right. God, we're sorry for choosing things above it. And God, we probably will again. But I thank you, Jesus, for staying the same yesterday, today, and forever, for being consistent, for never leaving or forsaking, for keep on coming back. When we're miffed off and we walk, you still reach us. And so, Jesus, we respond with the best we can right now. And we love you, Jesus. We want to be exclusive with you, Jesus. King of kings and Lord of lords. God, you see right into our hearts today. Thank you for loving us where we're at. Lord, I thank you for this house. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.